There we go. I hit the right button now. Now I'm exactly right. today, you know, I've quite often gotten my thoughts for the radio program on Thursday or Friday night, right? You know, when I'm trying to sleep, but my dog won't let me. And this time, I actually got up, and I had been awake a long time when I started thinking about this, because I had a question from one of my grandkids about getting older. And I thought, you know, that might make an interesting show. I don't know how interesting it's going to be, but this will be non-political. So those of you who don't like my progressive left-leaning, you won't have to listen to any of that. We're going to talk about getting older and the good things about getting older and some of the bad things about getting older. And if you'd like to call in and tell me what you think about getting older, the number is 740-383-9944. That's 740-383-WWGH if you're looking at the pad. Anyway, I can remember as a little guy asking my father and my grandfather, what happened when you die? What were they afraid of getting older? A lot of questions like that that only a young guy, and I was pretty young when I asked those questions, only a young guy really, you don't think about it. You just want to know the answers. You don't worry about whether you're going to scare the person you're talking to. Now, my kids never asked that. That was kind of interesting. And I didn't ask it too much of my father, but when I did, my father usually gave me the typical Methodist minister's answer, you know, about going to heaven and being with God and being with grandpa and grandma and that sort of thing. As I got older, my father's response to questions I had about getting older changed. My father, when I was probably 16, told me when I grow up, he had watched me through several of my formative years, and he told me, Glenn, when you grow up, you're either going to be a terrific atheist or you're going to be a terrific Christian. And I'm hoping that I'm kind of putting both of them together. I do sort of consider myself an atheist, or at best somebody that isn't sure. I do try to live my life as a Christian. So I believe in the Christian principles as set down by Jesus Christ, not necessarily by all the what would you call it? I'm trying to think of a word. All the different stuff that we hear in the Old Testament. I really find the Old Testament to be an interesting but probably not very accurate view of the world, just because it was written by basically by the Jewish religious people back way before Christ. And it's kind of all over there. You can prove just about anything by getting two different Bible verses, especially in the Old Testament. Anyway, as we're getting older, let's talk about getting older. Getting older isn't that bad. My biggest problem with getting older is walking by the mirror. When I was younger, and I think I mentioned this in earlier shows, I did some modeling. I was an actor. I based my life on how I looked for several years, which is absolutely the wrong way to base your life. It does nothing positive for your personality. But I did. I kind of thought I'd be handsome all my life. And I obviously am not so handsome anymore as I've gotten older, heavier, and grayer, and thinner on top. And that's kind of difficult for people. That's one of those areas that it becomes very difficult for certain types of people, like yours truly. I think there are probably more people than not that really just don't pay that much attention to that sort of thing. But it was my background. I really did want to be an actor. But anyway, I've learned a lot. I've learned a lot in these years, and I'm very thankful for that. It's called, as you get older, it's called crystallized intelligence, which means you've learned some things that you know are written down on granite tablets that are true. Now, you may think one thing is true that I don't think is true and vice versa, but you believe it firmly, and I believe my thoughts firmly. They become crystallized. That's a good thing about getting older, though. That makes you more self-confident. The book that I read about this, or the articles that I read about this, said as you get older, you're probably getting more agreeable. Now, I know that's not always true. There were curmudgeons all through my life that were old guys and old women. But most of the curmudgeons had been curmudgeons all their life, and it was just their personality. It wasn't because they were getting old. But most people do tend to moderate as they get older. At least that's what the articles have told me. They become more agreeable, and they're able to control their emotions better. They focus on how to make the most of their life as opposed to worrying about the greed of their life. I know a lot of older folks that do have some emotional problems. They miss their family that's gone on ahead of them. They miss seeing their children who have gone away from their home. One of the things my wife loves to fantasize about is, no, we're not going to get dirty now. One of the things she likes to fantasize about is that all three of our children lived right around this area. We do have one that lives in Worthington, which is nice. We get to see those grandchildren fairly regularly, and that son quite regularly. But I have a son that lives in Ojai, California, which is about an hour and a half north of Los Angeles. You might have heard about Ojai during the really bad fires because they were surrounded by fire for a while. My daughter lives near Raleigh, North Carolina. So I've got them on both coasts, and we don't get to see those kids very often. So you kind of miss out on things like that as you get older. But it's not so bad. There's a good side to that. You don't have to you don't have to babysit every night. Not that I mind babysitting, but especially my own children, my own grandchildren. I really wouldn't be fond of babysitting other people's children. I do love kids. I absolutely love to watch kids and talk to kids, but I'm not a big babysitter enthusiast. You do tend, as you get older, a good thing for you is you do tend to tune in to other people's emotions. You tend to develop some empathy. Now, this is all coming from two or three articles that I read about this, and they claim that you tend to be more, after you're 40, you tend to be more in tune to people's emotions. Now, I'm well after 40, but as you get older, you tend to be able to understand more about what people are thinking. It was kind of interesting. The article that I read said most older people become morning people. Now, most of my life I've been a morning person, but I am much more of a morning person now than I used to be. This morning, I think I got up at 6 o'clock. Might have been 6:45, but there have been many mornings where I get up at 5 o'clock and I'm not sure whether it's I can't go back to bed or my dog won't let me go back to bed or I want to get up and listen to my music. I dearly love my music, and I listen to a lot of very romantic, I'm going to leave it at that. I listen to a lot of romantic music. But apparently from this article I read, it's due to sleeping patterns that shift as you get older. Most of us tend to get sleepier earlier and go to bed earlier. I wonder how, and it didn't explain this, but I wonder how daylight savings affects that. I would think that you have a biological clock that tells you for a week or so after the daylight savings that it's either too early or too late. At least it does for me. One study showed that even through folks over 65, they tend to wake up during the night. Now, the main reason why I get up in the middle of the night is to go to the bathroom. But people tend to wake up as you get older, tend to just wake up in the night. And they don't get as good a sleep as you get when you're younger. So that's a good and a bad thing. You do have a time to plan your radio show if you wake up at 5 o'clock in the morning. But it's a bad thing if you really like sleep, and I kind of like sleep. Another good thing about getting older is retirement. Early retirement may not be so good for your health, I read, but regular retirement, if you plan it and you have enough money to live comfortably, and I'm not saying comfortable I don't mean like a multimillionaire or something like that. I mean just you can get by day to day without worrying how you're going to pay for the next bill. I'm kind of in that situation, but I wouldn't have been had I not had my wife not gotten a little bit of a and money from her mother passing and her father passing. The majority of people over 65 have saved enough money. I wouldn't say it's a large majority. I think I read somewhere 40% of the people over 65 have no idea where the next meal's coming from. But those of us who do, it makes retirement fairly comfortable. Now, one of the things that I learned about retirement is, I actually had to go to a psychiatrist for a short time. Well, I'll be darned. I have a phone call. Let's take our phone call and see what's going on. Hang on. A few boats having.
Hello. Hi, Glenn.
Hi.
I'm enjoying your topic this morning.
Okay.
Seems how I'm old.
We're all old to somebody.
Well, yeah.
or
as I like to say, older.
We're up by the Manitou Islands.
How can...
We're going to go inside the Manitou
I hear two people talking.
Yeah, I do too, and I don't know where that other...
The wind is coming over our left.
I don't know where that other...
Well, I'll try to... Yeah.
Just talk loud.
Yeah. Okay. Well, I just, guess one day my two cents as to...
Sure.
I think I'm probably happier right now, and I have been for many years.
And you're over 40, I bet.
Yeah, I'm over 40.
Straight up and down.
I turned 70 last year.
That's not a bad age.
And I, all of a sudden, I just decided that I'd always adored my grandmothers, both of them. One particular grandmother I adored. And all of a sudden, I decided it's time now to be grandma. And of course, I'd been left my hair gray. I had been gray before, you know, and all that. But I got short gray hair, just like grandma did, and I'm just being myself and just bringing back good memories of grandma and how she was.
They probably gave you some good lessons that you didn't even know that you're passing on. So.
Well, that's possibly true. The only thing about me in particular right now, when I recall grandmother, naturally I was a bit older, naturally, you know, although, you know. But now I'm thinking to myself that, that's hard to talk, you know, when it's done that like that. I'm thinking to myself that I've got two grandbabies now. And I've got a granddaughter 22, but the babies are like 3 and 4, you know, and trying to keep up, so to speak, with them. But I just adore these kids. But yeah, I'm happier now.
Yeah, I think most people do. Well, I wouldn't say most people, but a lot of people do become happier. And 70 is a good year, I think. I hit 70 2 years ago, so I beat you there.
Oh, okay.
I really enjoy myself, and I do enjoy seeing. Now, do you see your grandkids every day, or?
Oh no, I don't. Not really daily. And when I do, I just treasure.
Yeah.
Because they're right here in town. It's,
ah,
you know,
that's nice.
And all
yeah.
That,
it's interesting. As we got older, my wife and I, how our parents, or her parents, lived in the town with us, but we only saw them about once a month. I don't know why that is, but.
Well, sometimes that happens.
Yeah, just got a lot of things to do.
Yeah.
Well, thank you very much for calling.
Well, you're very welcome, and like I said, I'm enjoying the topic.
All right, we'll keep going. I got a lot more stuff on my clipboard.
Okay, Glenn.
Thank you for calling in. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
Excuse me. I have no idea why all that other stuff was going on. I must have hit a wrong button somewhere, and I'm learning. When I used to be in radio, everything was done on tape machines and stuff. Now it's all electronic, and I had no idea where it was coming from. Thank you for calling in. I love to have people call in for a couple of reasons. First of all, I love to hear what you're thinking. But I also love to know that there is somebody listening other than my wife, and she doesn't listen very often. We were talking about some of the good things about getting older. The studies seem to show that your self-esteem soars as you go over 60, as you go over 40, but it tends to drop back down at 60, but the studies seem to imply it's not that your self-esteem is dropping, but we tend to get into more problems as we go over 60, health problems, just problems that pop up as you get older, but it mainly pointed at the health problems, but your self-esteem seems to soar as you get older. I never had problems with self-esteem. I always thought I was pretty esteem. another good thing about getting older, the longer you live, baby boomers and older adults report that they have less stress. Well, that would than younger people. That would be obvious. Can you imagine being in middle school again with all the little backbiting that goes on and all the nasty stuff? Now, believe me, as a person who grew up in business most of my life, there is plenty of backbiting to go around. I was fired three times, I think, and most of it was based on stuff that was happening behind the scenes by people that didn't like me. The longer you live, this is not a necessarily good point, but the longer you live, gravity starts to move on you. And that's one of the reasons why I don't look in my mirror anymore. Gravity has taken hold. And the other problem with the gravity thing is, you actually, this article says you actually lose as much as an inch of your height because the little pads in between each of the bones in your backbone tend to squish down because of gravity. So you get a little shorter. I can't dunk anymore. Never could. But I do have a son that can, but I never could. And I used to be 5'11", and I'm probably way closer to 5'10" now. Anyway, that makes you more susceptible, I will say, to back problems, to achy stuff. That's one of the things I don't like about getting older. I ache every morning. But that's why they make aspirin. Oh, I can't take aspirin because I had a heart attack. But whatever the pain thing is that I do take, I take, and it takes care of my problems. The article I read said the grain of America may be a good thing for us. 60 and over people tend to cast more ballots than the other age group. So if you're an older American, you tend to vote more. You're more likely to vote. That means that you can vote for things that are good for those of us who are called seniors, like Medicare and Social Security and healthcare and that sort of thing. So you can use your age to help yourself. Another good thing about being a senior discounts. I was always embarrassed to take them, especially when I was, many places give senior discounts after 55. And I always felt, since I was still working, I never took those. I was embarrassed. I didn't want to admit that I was over 55, I guess. But now that I'm on an income that's mainly Social Security and a little bit of other stipend, I take those senior discounts, and sometimes they can be quite sizable. You know, one of the things my wife and I love to do is go out and camp. We have a little camping trailer that we take, and we go around to the Ohio State Parks, and we have been we are allowed to go to Ohio State Parks and camp for half price. And I can't remember exactly what that works out to be, but I think it's $13, $14 a day instead of $27, $28 a day. And we also were lucky enough, and we got in before the government decided they weren't going to do it anymore, but we bought a lifetime pass for national parks, and I think it cost us $10 at the time. I think it's up to 50 now or more, but we can go to any state park free of charge, and that's just terrific. And if you love traveling like I do, not so much my wife, but like I do, it turns out really good. A lot of people our age, my caller and my age, a lot of us start to turn out to things. We turn off the things that worry us so much. There aren't so many major problems that you have as you get older. A lot of people have earned enough money that they can handle their problems. A lot of people have just learned how to handle money, and that is important. One of the things I didn't like as a youngster was young people tend to be pretty fragile. They're worried about what other people say about them. They're so terribly concerned that they might not have the right skirt on or the right sports jacket on or the right t-shirt on. I don't worry about that too much. I pretty much have my clothes I wear day in and day out. They all look alike. I really don't care what you think about the way I look. Now, that's not all true. I won't go out and look like I just rolled out of bed. I'm pretty vain about my hair. I don't have a lot, but I'm pretty vain about it. So I comb it every morning, make sure it's combed and stuff. But I don't worry too much about what other people think about the way I dress or the way I look. So anyway, looks aren't everything anyway. That's what they say. You stop caring what others think at about 25, but by the time you're 65, you really could give a darn less. And I find that fairly true, even though I still like to, at least present myself. I'm always clean. I always try to have clean clothes on. I always try to look like I really did comb my hair in the morning. But you can dress for comfort. Oh, I love being able to dress for comfort. I wear T-shirts a lot now, whereas before when I was at the credit union, I wore a sport coat. Most days almost every day I wore a tie. And most days I took the sport coat off as soon as I got to work. But it used to be in my dad's day that he wore a coat and tie every day. Of course, he was a minister and did have to meet a lot of people and counsel people. And I guess that was kind of expected, that you wear a coat and tie every day and that you have your shoes polished. Anymore, there are a lot of people who don't even care about their shoes. Let's see here. Oh, not only can you dress for comfort, but you can... when you're dressing for comfort, you can afford to wear things that don't weigh you down. You know, some of those clothes, especially current clothes, tend to fit rather tightly, and I'm not real fond of tight. You've already had your kids. That's great. And the caller and I talked, we love our grandkids. But sometimes it's not a bad idea to get away from your grandkids. They know that Papa's going to spank them even so. And that's one of the, I never do. Don't tell them. All right. They know that they better mind Grandpa. He might spank them at some time, but I do love my kids and I love to be able to just visit. Rather than take care. And I know there are an awful lot of grandparents that are taking care of their grandkids right now on a permanent basis, which it's good and it's bad. I'm glad that they're able to do that. I'm glad, and most of them absolutely, well, I'm sure 95% of them absolutely love their grandkids and love the opportunity. But you need a break. And I'm glad that all three of my children moved out after they got their college degrees, and we didn't really have to help them too much. It's nice. It makes it easier to plan your life. And as you get older, you move less frequently. The one move I'm not really looking forward to is the last move, to move into the home. But hopefully I've got a while before I have to even think about that. I moved 21 times. I counted it up, and I moved 21 times growing up. Most people move about 10 to 14 times, and that's what the articles told me. And you probably, after you hit 65, you probably won't move a whole lot of times, maybe once or twice, but not very often. And that's no fun at all. The last time we moved, when we moved up here from Athens, I brought a box that we had sealed up when we moved to Athens and never opened. We opened it up, and most of that stuff went right into the trash. Anyway, a lot of people want to know how to face their fears of and move forward. And for many people, older means getting closer to death. And that's part of life, though. One of the things I did as I got older and started to think about death, which I think most older people think about a little more often than young people, when I started thinking about it, I told myself, okay, it's going to come, but between now and then, I'm going to teach my children, and that I mean my children, not my grandchildren. Hopefully, grandchildren will see it as well. But I'm going to teach my children how to die with dignity, honesty, and be a proud grandpa, a proud father. You might also fear about losing your independence. Now, all these things you have to just face. And it's better if you face them and plan a little early. Plan your end of life care. Now, I haven't done that. I'll admit it. But I'm told by the articles I should be doing that. I'm not that frightened of it yet. And it may just jump up on me and I won't know it. If it were frightening me, I would try to take care of that. But I do fear losing my independence. Every time I have an ache or a pain that I haven't had before, I start to wonder, is that part of my health problem, my heart problem? I start worrying about, I start thinking about, this could be the last time I'm able to get home and be independent. But if I was really worried about it, I should face it and do something about it. But to this point, I'm not. We all worry about how we look, I think, a little. Many of us gain weight. I would say most of us gain some weight, which is not good for you healthy-wise, but it's also not good for you to worry about it. I mean, you should do something about it. But worrying doesn't help anything, as far as I can see. One of the things you can do that help you face any fears that you have, I remember my dad talking to a lot of people about the fear of passing, the fear of their parents passing or so forth. But that's one of the great things about being a Methodist minister's son. I got to see people come talk to my father, who was a very intelligent gentleman. I think I mentioned before he got his degree from, Butler, and then he went to Boston University, and then he went to Harvard. So he was a pretty smart guy, and he helped a lot of people. And that's one of the things you can do. Talk to a religious professional, talk to your family, talk to your friends. Help yourself understand that we all have those fears, and there's first of all nothing you can do about it. I don't think anybody's lived forever, so there's not much you can do about it. Make yourself as comfortable as possible, and think about what you need to do to make sure you're ready and your family's ready for it. But let's not get maudlin about it. Let's try to be as upbeat as we can about it, by staying in the moment. What's happening right now? I have a trip planned to Ojai, California, so I can plan that right now, and I'm gonna worry about other things. I'm not gonna worry about my ultimate demise. I'm gonna worry about how much it's going to cost me per mile. I guess gas prices are going to go up, at least in Ohio, with our new governor raising the motor tax. One of the things, if you're not retired yet, one of the things you really do need to do is start setting aside some money for retirement. Hundreds of thousands of dollars is not a bad thing to have once you're retired. We didn't have hundreds of thousands of dollars. But we were able to plan for it. We knew what we were going to have, and that's what you can do. Plan for it and know how much you're going to have at the end of your work career. We actually did a budget well before I retired on how we were going to live with Social Security and what else we had. I did not have a pension from the places that I worked. But we were able to figure out how we could live day to day and not go to the poorhouse and pay, you know, our mortgage and pay our food and pay clothes and take care of ourselves. It was going to be bare bones, but we figured it out. You can also find opportunities to work. Like, there are lots of opportunities to work for schools and nonprofits where you might be basically a volunteer, but you get a few bucks, you know, and that can help, but also it keeps you active. My psychiatrist, when I was going to her, she said to me, "You need to get out of the house at least once a week." And that's kind of what doing volunteer work will help you do. I went and I looked up some quotes, which I thought were kind of interesting, about getting older. And I hope none of you are afraid about getting older. There's nothing you can do about it, so enjoy all the good things that can happen as you get older. You enjoy the independence. Enjoy that you have some money. Enjoy that you have grandkids that you can say hi to and bye to. So do all those things. But there was one of the quotes was, and this was an anonymous quote, "Age mellows some people, others it makes rotten." I can't honestly say that I had anybody in my family that got rotten as they got older. I've had a wonderful life, and I think I've said that 100 times. But my life was, the people in my life have always been kind. They've always been helpful. I can only remember one time where I asked my brother for some money, and he turned me down. Usually they were been able to help me out, especially when I was younger, financially, if I needed it. So I've had a wonderful life, and I haven't seen that rotten side. And sometimes people call old folks rotten just tongue-in-cheek. We're more direct. We don't have time to tell you how wonderful you look and how good your breath smells and, you know, all the things you see on TV. We don't have time. We will tell you how we feel and let the chips fall as they may. For the first half of our life, this is another quote. This was by Richard Needham, and I have a couple quotes from him, and I can't honestly say why I should know him, but for the first half of your life, people tell you what you should do. For the second half, they tell you what you should have done. And that's another problem with getting older. And I keep telling myself I ought to do what I want to do when I can do it. Sometimes money won't allow me to do what I'd like to do. And sometimes, depending on your health, you may not be able to run a marathon or things like that. But don't let people tell you what to do. Do what you should do, and that way you won't have the regrets that we all have. I mean, I have regrets that I didn't work harder in school. I have regrets that I didn't work harder in work and make a fortune. I don't have a big regret about that. Money has never been a big motivator for me. All right. The next quote from Mr. Needham for the... wait a minute. That is the same quote that I already did. So I'm going to jump on. Claude Pepper said this. A stockbroker urged me to buy a stock that would triple its value every year. I told him, at my age, I don't even buy green bananas. Sounds a little bit like something George Burns would said. I understand that. Buying a stock that you're thinking will triple in 5 years, I've thought about that. And I remember stockbrokers talking to me about, well, what is your plan for 20 years financially? Well, right now my plan is to try and get through this year. And you tend to shorten your distance of your goals as you get older. Not a bad thing. And all of my wife's grandparents lived well into their 90s, so she needs to plan far in advance. Mine were 70s and 80s, so and that was back in a time when we didn't live that long. So I guess I should plan ahead, and I can go ahead and buy some green bananas. They'll probably ripen up. Anyway, that's the only type of banana my wife likes is green bananas. She buys bananas, and I say, honey, you know that's not ripe. Oh, yeah, that's the best way they are, though. If they still got a tinge of green on them, I don't want them. Anyway, this one was written by somebody that is unknown. Age is an issue of mind over matter. If you don't mind, you don't matter. If you don't mind, it don't matter. Okay, that's kind of what happens as you get older. You start not minding so much. So therefore, it doesn't matter so much. You always, you know, every time I walk by that mirror, if I don't look at it, I still think I'm 21 as I walk by the mirror. If I do look at it, I know that I'm 72. Another unknown quote, I'm saving the best to last because it was done by Sophia Loren, but the penultimate quote is this one. Penultimate means second to last. All right. That was a word that the team physician taught me when I was with DePaul. Gentlemen, I would love to tell you some stories about, and I will someday. If at first you don't succeed, try again, then quit. There's no point in being a damn fool about it. Well, I guess... On a humorous side, that's a pretty good idea. I don't think you should quit. And I don't think anybody thinks you should quit. You should try again. The last quote I'm going to give you is by Sophia Loren, and I hope you enjoyed today. I know it's specifically for people my age or maybe in their 60s, 70s, 80s maybe. I hope you enjoyed it. This is from Sophia Loren. She said, there's a fountain of youth. It's in your mind, your talents, the creativity that you bring to your life and the lives of people you love. When you learn to tap this source, you will truly have defeated age. A great thought to close the morning on, and I hope you... don't fear getting older. Don't fear maybe losing the looks that you once had. The one thing that annoys the heck out of me is watching so many of our commercials are totally directed towards those who are beautiful amongst us. But we don't have to all be beautiful. Let's just be happy. And I hope you're happy, and I hope you enjoyed listening to It's a Progressive Life here with Glenn Coble today.
Marion, Ohio, the talking place for former coach of the Ohio State Buckeyes, Jim Tressel.
You know, it's interesting because everybody knows the story, obviously, of what happened there. But when that all was going down, because that's a rough period, that's a rough year. And, you know, as it comes out in Sports Illustrated that, you know, these emails were flying around on April 2nd and on December 9th, you publicly said you didn't know anything about it, and it all came down that way. Do you wish you had said, yes, I know about it on December 9th, or had reported it earlier?
Oh, gosh, I'm not sure that you have all the dots connected there. But if you ask, do I wish, throughout the course of the entire situation, that we would have made some different decisions, you know, without a doubt. But I'm not sure you have it exactly right.
What did I have incorrect? I want to be correct with this.
Oh, you know,